time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Wrestling fans, it is time for the Pain Clinic. I hate to inform you that, tragically, the Cash Man is not with us today. Hot tub. Him and Brian scrubbing each other up. I don't know why, but I envision, like, Brian gently caressing Cash's upper lip, encouraging the hair to grow back. Bring out the Cash Dash.
We can only hope. It's getting around that time of year.
It is. It's about time for the Cash Dash to make its return. Why does he wait for summer?
I don't know.
That makes it extra creepy to me.
School's out.
I wish there was a rhyme like sun's out, guns out.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do for Cash. Anyway, Cash is not here. Brian's not here. It's the double D's holding it down today.
Yep.
Danger. You're just going to do one-liners all day.
Like, no, I should be able to contribute.
You'll be okay?
I should be able to contribute.
All right. Well, so we do have our weird holidays for today. We have National Columnist Day, which, okay, whatever. National Pink Day. So I don't know, Brett and Natalia are going to be really happy about today.
Apparently so.
We do have some birthdays. Brandi Rhodes is 35. She does not look 35.
No, not at all. I'm surprised.
That's, damn.
Yeah.
That's a good 35. And then there's Billy Kay, who is 29 today. The Pain Clinic, as always, brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight, located at Empire and Culver. You can join us July 7th for UFC 226 at Salvatore's Saloon and Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 East Ridge Road. That's a 10 o'clock start time. Get there early. Hosted by us. There's going to be prizes and drink specials all night.
Huge fight.
Huge fight.
You got Stipe versus Cormier. That's it. Stipe versus Cormier for the heavyweight title. So it's champion versus champion with only one belt on the line.
And then I'm glad you mentioned there's a big fight because Cash tried to sabotage me with the copy today. He's like, CM Punk is fighting. I'm like, wait a minute. No, he's not.
Not on this one.
That was the last one.
Yes.
So that is July 7th, UFC 226. Hey, if you're interested in roller derby, want to be a skater, want to officiate, they're always looking for people.
They are.
Cash wants you so bad. You can contact them at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com. So we do have a lot to talk about today. We had two great events last weekend. We had NXT TakeOver. We had Money in the Bank. We can talk about the fallout from that. We can talk about, I don't know, the fallout that happened this week.
Well, there's injuries. There was a huge loss in the wrestling world. Vader, if you haven't heard, Vader, former WCW champion, former WWF wrestler, former New Japan champion. I believe he was the first foreigner who was the New Japan champion, passed away on Monday, according to his Twitter feed from his son, from complications from pneumonia that had to do with his heart failure that he came out with. I think it was, you know, just over a year and a half ago. He said he was given 2 years to live, and they had walked that back a little bit. And but apparently he succumbed to complications from pneumonia, and he died on Monday, which is really sad. And if you only know him from his WWF run, you need to go back and watch his early stuff, especially his stuff in Japan, but also his stuff with Cactus Jack in WCW, or his stuff with Sting. He was the foil to Sting after Ric Flair left WCW to go to WWF in the early 90s.
Here's what I thought when I heard that he had passed. And it's, I kind of had the same reaction when Macho Man died, where it's, here's a guy that, I know the WWE Hall of Fame is a joke. I mean, it's not as serious as they really want it to be, just because of the politics behind it. Vader should have been in.
Yes.
Why wasn't he in And this is another one of those situations where you know damn well they're going to induct him this year now.
They, there was a push to induct him this past year, by multiple people. I believe Mick Foley was in on it. I know Vader was in on it so he could see it done while he was alive. And now that is not a possibility. And that's a shame because he, if you're going to involve other companies like they have in recent years, Vader 100% belongs in the Hall of Fame. So, he was one of my favorites growing up, even though I didn't necessarily like the bad guys yet. When I was watching at that age, I was 10, 11 years old, but he was awesome. And he was a 450 pound man who could do a moonsault.
Yeah, he did things that, given his size, he should not have been doing.
Yeah. He was extremely agile. He was extremely good at what he did. And if it wasn't for Shawn Michaels kind of being a little crybaby, he would have been a much bigger thing in the WWF. But we won't go into backstage politics on that one.
No. So if you want to give us your thoughts on Vader, maybe some of your favorite matches, anything like that, you can give us a call. 222-1280, star 1280, you can call. Or you can text in case you're phone shy. That's... So we did lose Vader this week.
That was Monday.
That was Monday. And then
Tuesday,
the next
day, lost Big Cass.
We lost Big Cass, which if you watched Money in the Bank, you kind of had to suspect something was up when they had him lose his second consecutive pay-per-view match to Daniel Bryan to a submission.
To a submission. And I mean, it was a better match than the first one, but it still wasn't anything that made him look that good.
No.
And Daniel Bryan destroyed him, and we all know they don't like to push Daniel Bryan. So the fact that he's, and the whole lead up to it and everything was bad, and apparently this has been a long time coming. It started with the trouble he got into for the promo he did where he beat up the little person, more than just the big boot. Apparently there's another promo he did, if you remember him on the rampway talking in a suit, just about how tall he was for 8-9 minutes straight. He blew off rehearsal on that promo that day, so Kevin Dunn had never seen it. The writer of that promo also got fired a couple weeks ago because of how bad it was, and he went long. There was also rumors about him being drunk backstage. There was a rumor about him having a confrontation with his ex-girlfriend, Carmella. I'd be upset, too, if she left me for James Ellsworth. But but there's, I mean, apparently it's a long track record at this point, and he was called in before the show and had a meeting with Vince on Tuesday and was told he was being fired. They did not wish him the best in his future endeavors. They told the rest of the roster after that, and he's gone. We have no more Big Cass. He's 7 foot tall and doesn't have a job, and you can't teach that.
We talked about it. You know, aside from his height, what did he have? He worked when he was with Enzo.
Yeah.
As just the quiet, muscle, tall, badass
guy. With one
guy.
Line.
Yeah.
But when he went out there and cut a full promo, and I know they're scripted for him, but you still have to be able to deliver, and he didn't. And all he had... And all they pushed him on was the fact he was 7 foot tall. And he was terrible.
And that's all he had.
Yes. So now, thankfully, both Enzo and Cass are gone, and we don't have to hear them and their stupid sing-along stuff ever again.
You know, it upsets me, too, because when they first started out in NXT, I liked them. But they didn't really evolve much. And they didn't really get that big of a push. They never really won anything in NXT. They didn't do much when they brought him up to the main roster. Then, of course, they had the split, and then it didn't help things when they immediately do the split and the feud is so horrible, Big Cass injures himself on purpose.
Yeah.
That's not the way it happened, but...
That's what we're going to think happened.
Well, that's what we think. I mean, Big Cass gets injured because he has to work with Enzo.
Neville quits.
Neville quits because he has to work with Enzo. Or Real One, or whatever the hell he's calling himself now.
Yeah. Eric. That's what his name is.
His name is Eric. Let's talk about Money in the Bank. That's always one of the big pay-per-views of the year. We had two winners, both from Raw, which we could have a whole discussion about that.
One was good. One has absolutely no need to have that.
Correct. Here's my problem. There were rumors going into it that, oh, we're going to split it up. So one of the briefcases is going to go to Raw. One's going to go to SmackDown. I think this is another one of those cases where... Despite the fact SmackDown has the better roster, I think it's a better product if you compare Raw to SmackDown, even though they've both kind of been awful recently. This is another one of those things where this does no favors to SmackDown.
No.
And it pushes them back down again.
It pushes them back down. It makes them seem, even though I do like what the result was with who has the title shot on SmackDown, and I think it's about time that that individual, Rusev, starts seeing some upper card type scenarios thrown in front of him, and will take on AJ Styles, and I'm sure that'll be a great match. But SmackDown is made to look weaker. I know Alexa Bliss stole the title and everybody wanted Becky to win it. Well, you know what? Eventually, and this is the second year in a row, everyone wanted in the arena wanted Becky to win Money in the Bank. Why didn't you have her win it?
Well, they haven't done anything with her in the last year and a half, 2 years.
I understand you had the Alexa cash in afterwards, and she beat up everybody with the briefcase, and I love Alexa as champion on Raw. But to not either, if you're going to go with Strowman, which you don't absolutely, you do not have to do at all, why not just give it to one of the SmackDown girls?
Well, then here's the only thing I can think of. Maybe the original plan was someone from SmackDown winning it, but did WWE paint themselves in a corner when they made the Nia Jax Ronda Rousey match? They had no choice but to give it to Alexa. Was that their out because they didn't know what to do there?
It could have been. I know originally, going into the weekend, that Nia Ronda match was supposed to be the main event. The show was also supposed to be an hour less than it was. So, yeah, that was fun going to 11:30 again, starting at 7 this time. But, so I don't know.
You're just upset because you had to go into work the next day.
I don't know what they, what they changed or anything like that, but, I mean, I like the cash in. And I like them. I don't mind them ending with the men's Money in the Bank ladder match because that's what sells. Pay. I understand we're in the women's revolution and we have to, you know, equal rights and all that stuff. And the women put on great matches, but the men's Money in the Bank is what sells that. The men don't have to go out there and completely do a script walkthrough of their match beforehand.
Right.
All the women were pulled off the house shows this weekend so they could practice it on Friday that were in that match, which is good. It came off looking decent. I'm not going to complain about the match.
No, compared to last year's, it was much better.
Yeah, which is surprising because Lana was in it.
and a man didn't win the briefcase.
No, but that man did show up during the show.
Yeah, we can talk about that later. We did get a message in on our Facebook feed that says, let's talk about the other Money in the Bank ladder match. Did Braun really need to win the briefcase?
No,
absolutely not. If there was one person in that match that did not need the briefcase to legitimize themselves, it was Braun Strowman. There were so many better options they could have gone with. But they gave it to Braun.
Should have been Rusev or Joe. That's just what I'm saying. That's who the crowd wanted. That's who we wanted. So I'm just going to go with my gut, and it should have been those two. But no, Braun can just cash in whenever.
Well, I guess the catch is if Brock ever shows up. All right, so we have so much to talk about, and we want to hear what you have to talk about, too. 222-1280 is the phone number, *1280. Send us a text. Give us a call. Check out the Facebook video. We'll be back with more Pain Clinic here on Fox Sports 1280. I've done my sentence, but committed no crime. And bad mistakes, I've made a few. I've had my share. All right, welcome back to the Pain Clinic here on Fox Sports 1280. No wrestling music today because, again, my laptop, the disk drive, just doesn't work anymore.
Apparently mine doesn't want to print.
Yeah, anytime Danger Boy makes a CD, the CD player here just doesn't like it.
It's playing in my car.
I don't know. So, again, the phone number is 222-1280, *1280. If you're calling from outside the Rochester area, it's 585-222-1280. The Pain Clinic brought to you by Salvatore's, Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and my favorite location, Donuts Delight.
Donuts are delicious this morning.
Donuts are wonderful.
So is the breakfast pizza.
Oh, yeah. They make a. If you've never been to the Donuts Delight location at Empire and Culver and gotten that breakfast pizza, you're living life the wrong way. It's a quarter of a large pizza, and it has all the meats.
All the meats.
All the meats. They don't make you pick one. It has all the meats. Oh, it's so good. You can join us out at our other favorite Salvatore's location. That's Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 East Ridge Road, for UFC 2/26. That's July 7th. 10 o'clock start time. Get there early. As always, it's hosted by us. Prizes and drink specials all night long. It's UFC 226, July 7th, either at Salvatore's Saloon or Salvatore's at the garage door, 149 East Ridge Road. I'm going to do some research here. So on our Facebook feed, we got a little...
We are on Facebook Live, by the way.
We are on Facebook Live. We're talking about the big Cass issue, and I don't know. I mean, we have an insider. Maybe we could find out. Apparently, there's a rumor that the Bludgeon Brothers had to break up something with Carmella and Big Cass.
Interesting.
We're going to have to do some research on that.
I wish I would have known.
I may have
seen a Bludgeon Brother on Thursday.
Yes, me and Danger happened to be out at a show in Buffalo on Thursday. We did not plan it. We both ended up being there. We were only like a section away from each other.
Yeah.
And then I get a text from Danger, be like, Luke Harper sitting in front of me.
Directly in front of me.
which is unfortunate because...
It's a very tall man to be sitting in front of me.
Oh, you got that tall guy that sits down right in front of you right before the show starts.
After literally 2 seconds after discussing how I didn't want a tall guy to sit down in front of me.
That's just the way it happens. So let's talk about some of the other big news this week.
Well, we can tie something into Money in the Bank that we did not talk about.
Oh, do it, Danger.
So Sami Zayn got beat up pretty easily by Bobby Lashley. And if you've noticed, and looking back now, it makes perfect sense. Sami hasn't done much lately other than talk and hasn't wrestled much and all that good stuff. It's because Sami on Tuesday underwent surgery for the first of two surgeries he will need on torn rotator cuffs. He tore both his rotator cuffs, so he is going to be out until at least next year. I don't remember which social media platform, but said he would be making a WrestleMania time return next year, hopefully. Apparently the damage was much worse than they originally thought when he was scheduled to take the time off. He's been working through it, and now he's taking the time off. Charlotte Flair also had surgery on Tuesday, finally, for the ruptured breast implant that she's had since before WrestleMania. So she'll be taking some time off, but she'll be back in time for the SummerSlam push. So you probably won't see her at Extreme Rules, but you will see her at SummerSlam.
Okay, we got our buddy Ivan sending us a message. He wants to know, Bobby versus Brock at SummerSlam or Roman versus Brock again?
Everything I've heard is that they are looking at Roman versus Brock, but that would also be when Braun would cash in the Money in the Bank.
I was going to say that was what I would heard too. Roman is finally going to win,
and then
only to have Braun Strowman come out and cash.
Yes, which will be the biggest pop ever.
I was going to say the crowd would be so happy.
Because I believe they're in Brooklyn again, seeing as NXT's in Brooklyn the night before. So,
yes, this is the last year they're going to be in Brooklyn because
they're doing WrestleMania.
They're doing WrestleMania there next
year. Well, in Giant Stadium, but...
The New York area. It's in New
Met
Jersey.
MetLife Stadium. Sorry.
We do have a caller on the line. Brian, what do you want to talk about this morning?
Hi, guys. Guys, what are you guys' thoughts about the suspension of Ronda Rousey? Because here's how I think it went down. I think Alexa Bliss provoked it, Ronda Rousey. But then again, you don't go after the GM or any official that was in the ring.
I think it's the first time they've used Ronda Rousey the way she should be used.
Oh, well, that's all he wanted.
Well, they have to, I don't know exactly why, but she has been taken off a few Raw shows, so she has something going on where she needs to be away from the ring, and it's a great way to write her off. And at the same time, it's the first time they've made her seem the way she should, as someone who is going to snap and destroy you.
Here's the other problem, too. So she's suspended for 30 days. She was advertised for the Raw in Buffalo.
Yes.
Which would be within that 30-day suspension time window. So is she no longer going to be...
Card subject to change.
Yeah, it's always subject to change. But it's, I mean, they pushed that hard that
yeah,
she was going to be there.
Maybe she will. Maybe they'll reverse the suspension by then. I don't know. Maybe Constable Corbin will do something with his great haircut. I'm so happy he cut his hair.
You don't like that it's all thin on top, but it's long out the back look?
Well, I mean, it worked for Paul Heyman, but that was about it. The skullet is not a good look on anyone.
The skullet. Well, I don't know. Maybe someone could pull it off. Here's one of the other big stories. We talked about this a little bit last week, how Ring of Honor and New Japan look like we're going to be running a show at Madison Square Garden, potentially during the weekend of WrestleMania, right in Vince's backyard. And news came out this week that a phone call apparently was made and MSG pulled out of their deal with Ring of Honor, and they won't even give them an alternate date.
Yeah, they won't make anything available. They also pulled out of the deal they had with AAA, who was going to run a show, originally rumored to have been in September. It was actually going to be next year as well. So no one has run the garden for wrestling in 100 years other than a McMahon. And they wanted to keep it that way. It almost sounds like MSG was jaded because they're not being used anymore for the big things, because the Barclays Center is, because it's cheaper to use and they enjoy going there. So they did that. They made these deals to try to wisen the WWE up. Like, hey, we don't need you. We can find people to fill the dates anyways. What the problem is going to be, and there was no signed contract from what I've heard, so they don't necessarily have that as legal ramifications. Sinclair Corporation is bigger than either of these companies that they're dealing with, WWE and MSG. So if Sinclair wants to go after legal ramifications based on an agreement that they had, verbal at this point, they can probably do so. They also have other things they can do, such as Sinclair Company owns, I believe it's about 40 Fox stations. So when SmackDown moves to Fox next October, Sinclair can accidentally on Friday nights find something on their 40 Fox stations to preempt SmackDown, which, depending on the markets, I don't know what markets they are, but that could knock off some a good amount of viewers that would be available to watch the show. So this is going to get ugly.
It has the potential to get ugly.
I think it's going to. I think there are some very vindictive people involved, because it was a, hey, guess what? We have to cancel your date and you're not getting another one. And ROH was very hyped about being able to do larger market, bigger arena type stuff, whether or not it's in their best interest. But they're trying to expand. They're trying to take over that second, or they have taken over that second slot at this point. But they're trying to expand and get closer to Vince with an alternative type programming, and now they don't have what was going to be the nest egg of what they're trying to do. If they could have pulled off MSG, it would have been incredible. No one has pulled off MSG, like I said, in 100 years unless they were McMahon.
Do you think it would have been as big a deal had it not come after the all-in sellout? Is this Vince reacting? Is this Vince and WWE realizing that people are starting to wise up to all the other great wrestling that's actually available to them?
I don't think that hurts, but I don't think ROH necessarily would have tried to do MSG if All In hadn't sold out in 30 minutes. That was a big... It shows that there's a market out there. Despite the fact that these guys have all wrestled in the States for other companies, we saw almost everyone you'll see on All In at Buffalo last year.
The Global Wars.
At the Global Wars last year in 1,500 person place. So if they do that again and it draws 10,000 again, Vince will have a much bigger eye on it. At this point, it's looking like a novelty unless they can do it again. But it didn't, I mean, it opens up ROH to see that they can draw those numbers if it's promoted right.
All right. Things should get interesting. We'll see what happens. We got Floyd on the line, wants to talk to us this morning.
Hey, did y'all notice that Aleister Black ran the show at TakeOver once again? I mean, the man keeps continuously stealing the show. He holds the NXT title. It makes you wonder when he's going to lose it and comes up to the majors. You know, I mean, other than that, I mean, the only thing that, I'll be honest with you, that is as impressive as Vader's helmet back in the day, because you mentioned Vader at the beginning of the show, right? And first thing I thought about was that smoking goat helmet that he used to wear in Japan. And that was back when I was a kid and I used to watch that. When I heard news that he passed away, that really, really caught me off guard. I mean, a lot of people will remember him from Boy Meets World playing Frankie Stakino's father as well,
right.
too. You know, so yeah, I mean, rest in peace to Leon White Vader. We're all going to miss you, you know. But also, as well, too, y'all talking about how Braun Strowman really didn't need to ruin the briefcase. I mean, the fact of the matter is, this is good for wrestling. I mean, if Brock Lesnar could stop stuffing his face with Jimmy John's for Extreme Rules, maybe he could cash it in then before SummerSlam and make it an epic SummerSlam. Besides Undertaker wrestling, from what I'm hearing, but I don't even know if that's already in the, if that's already confirmed or not, you know, but still. Just wanted to point that out. Next time, if you don't mind, I'd like to point it out in person, though.
I don't know about that, Floyd, but we appreciate the call nonetheless.
Yes. And Aleister Black did have a good match. It was a difference of styles. They both showed something, and they both worked through probably the botch of the year.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
But I didn't think that was the best match on TakeOver.
No, I mean, and I'm a fan of Aleister Black.
And I agree that he is 100% ready to be up on the main roster and should be. And if I could see him on SmackDown with that roster talent that they have on SmackDown currently, I might not leave my house on Tuesdays ever.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was the one thing we really didn't talk about from this weekend. It was one of those great weekends where you had NXT Saturday, WWE Sunday, and again, what happened Sunday could not compete with what they did on Saturday.
Most of what happened Sunday could have happened on Monday, and no one would have known the difference.
I mean, aside from the two ladder matches?
Aside from the two ladder matches, and maybe the
WWE Championship?
WWE Championship match with AJ and Shinsuke. That was pretty solid. But
it took them long enough, but they finally had a decent match.
And I will say congratulations to Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch for winning over the Chicago crowd and winning over probably everyone who watches NXT because they were fantastic in that tag match.
Yeah, that tag match was an unbelievable way to kick off NXT. We can talk about that more if you want. 222-1280, star 1280, 585 is the area code if you're calling in from outside the area. Send us a text. Check out the Facebook live feed. We'll be back with more Pain Clinic here on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic here on Fox Sports 1280. Once again, we'd like to thank our awesome, awesome sponsors, Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, Donut's Delight, Empire at Culver. If you're a fan of UFC, we will be out at Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 East Ridge Road, July 7th for UFC 226. It'll also be shown at Salvatore's Saloon. That has a 10 o'clock start time. Get there early. There'll be prizes. There'll be drink specials all night long. And, of course, hosted by your favorite Pain Clinic members.
And we'll be out for this one. That's a big fight.
Again, that is July 7th, UFC 226. Did get another message in on our Facebook feed. Someone saying NXT feels like the better brand pay-per-view-wise.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Been that way for a while. Even WrestleMania weekend.
WrestleMania was the one show I feel like recently had the best chance.
Yeah.
Until the last like 90 minutes or so.
Of the five hours.
So let's just talk about that quick, Danger. What do you think it is that makes, I mean, the wrestling product itself is better on NXT?
They give them a little more leeway to do stuff. I mean, you don't see people doing what Ricochet does on regular WWE pay-per-views. You also have them jam-packed. NXT holds it at five matches. I mean, they have so much talent. You didn't see EC3 on this takeover. You didn't see
Adam Cole wrestle.
Adam Cole.
He was ringside.
Yeah.
But
you didn't see him wrestle. You didn't see the War Raiders, who they're going to be pushing on this, because they keep it to five matches. They keep it at 2.5 hours. So they keep it to the perfect length it should be to give you time to have these matches that are fantastic. So you can have a 40-minute Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa match that just breaks down everything in the arena. You can have your Velveteen Dream versus Ricochet, which was a fantastic match as well. So, I mean, it's the format and everything. You're not shoving 12 matches onto a pay-per-view. You're not shoving 10 matches, some of which aren't pay-per-view quality to begin with. So it's not even, I mean, the guys on the main roster can probably go just as well as the NXT guys in, for the most part. And some of them were in NXT, so I know they can.
Yeah.
It's just, it's the formats. It's the way things are done. And I, there's so many people on the main roster, you have to keep them all involved somehow, or most of them involved somehow, and have these matches on there. At the same time, I would much rather have six matches on a 3-hour pay-per-view and have the matches actually mean something.
Yeah. Another great comment in as we're talking about this says, the guys and gals on NXT literally look like they're killing themselves in the ring compared to WWE. And that's something that actually someone on the main roster has pointed out on multiple occasions. Drew McIntyre, like, I believe it was either Friday night or Saturday afternoon, he sent out a tweet, or he sent out a message saying, hey, everybody on the main roster, pay attention to what happens on Saturday night, because these are the guys that are coming for your spot.
Yeah.
And that is, I think that is the biggest difference. I never feel like what I see in a WWE ring, as far as like Raw, SmackDown, or one of their pay-per-views, I never get the sense that somebody's going all out.
There's sometimes you do. Like AJ, I don't think ever puts half effort in. Shinsuke, when they give him the chance, doesn't. But it's also the way that they want the match to work. It's, they're not given full creative control over the match. They have agents that, that tell them what they want to see. They're scripted, this, not necessarily scripted move for move, and they have some openness there, but it's a different product. NXT is for, Triple H said best this week, and I hate to agree with Triple H, but he's starting to come around to actually make sense sometimes. It's like music. Not everybody likes the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have your niches there, and NXT is a niche for hardcore wrestling fans. It doesn't necessarily draw your casual fan that's going to go out and buy your John Cena shirt because they know John Cena for the last 15 years, but it's going to draw your hardcore wrestling fans, and that's what, and they're going to cater to that because they already know that's what they're going to get. It's just like what they do on the Raw after WrestleMania. They cater to the fans because they know they can't do anything other than that because the fans will hijack the show.
Well, the fans tried hijacking Money in the Bank a little.
Yeah,
especially Roman Reigns and Jinder Mahal.
The match where we thought Roman might actually get cheered because everyone hates Jinder more, instead they just cheered for everyone that wasn't those two.
I was going to say, I forget like all the names we heard them chanting.
Yeah, there was a lot.
But you could definitely tell there was beach ball. It's been a long time since I've seen a crowd
do just the wave.
Yes, yes. They were so disinterested in what was going on that they did the wave. And I don't remember the last time I've seen the wave. So good job, Chicago.
If you make a Chicago crowd do the wave because they hate you guys that much, that's saying something.
But is anybody listening?
No.
Nah, that's okay.
That's another one of our stories in the news today, is that they know they're putting on mediocre shows, but there's no reason not to.
Yeah. I mean, in the
there's no one pushing them. There's no competition.
In the position they're in, what do they care?
Go back to the early to mid-90s and watch wrestling. If you got the network, you can see all these shows. It wasn't until Eric Bischoff started spending some of Ted Turner's money and started doing the invasion angle that he stole from Japan, but started doing the invasion angle and actually put some pressure on Vince, that they actually had to get out of the rut they were in. Because if you think that early 90s WWE was good wrestling, you don't know what wrestling was. Teal Hopper is not a good wrestler. It was all cartoon gimmicks and all that fun stuff until they had pressure on them and they actually had to step up, and that's what started the Attitude Era. And that's what started what everyone finally remembers as wrestling and the boom period. So someone's going to have to step up and put pressure on them, and New Japan's starting to, and ROH has the ability to cast the same people in those roles. So if they start using it the way that New Japan has and builds up the fan base, there might be some pressure on WWE to start getting some things right. But then you'll start seeing things look more like NXT, I would bet. A little more realistic.
Well, that's why I don't... Like, deep down, Vince has to understand. Vince has to know, right, that competition is good.
Yeah.
Which is why, I mean, we were just talking about how they kind of forced Madison Square Garden to back out of the deal for having that show. It's like getting more eyes on that product in the long run would be a good thing for WWE. Why are they discouraging the competition already?
Well, in MSG, they're going to always do that. That's a slap in the face to Vince. And he would see it as a slap in the face to his father if they ran another wrestling show there.
Well, if it was Vince's name on the arena, then yeah.
Well, yeah. But it's...
But it's not.
It's not, but it is. It's not, but it is. WCW couldn't even run there, and they were a multi-billion dollar company at one point. Or run by a multi-billion dollar company. So... We'll see what I mean. We'll see what happens if they get some pressure and actually have to step up a bit with their writing and such, because the writing right now is what's killing everything. The talent is there.
Well, again, it's one of those things where with all the talent that they have on their rosters right now, there's no excuse.
No.
They have all the pieces they need, with the exception of some creativity and some direction.
And you can see some of the talent is frustrated. You know that. I mean, when it comes out during the Punk trial that there was a text group that wanted to be the NXT guys, they wanted to go down to NXT. And then you get this week that John Cena is promoting how much he likes Velveteen Dream and would love to wrestle an NXT takeover. You know, he's not coming out saying I'm, you know, sick of what I'm doing here, but he's seeing what else is going on. And John Cena is a wrestling fan at this point. John Cena knows good wrestling, so he keeps an eye out.
Could you imagine if they worked it out for Velveteen Dream versus John Cena at some point during WrestleMania weekend next year?
We can dream.
Velveteen
Dream? Yes.
All right. We were just talking about Madison Square Garden, too. So despite how much they haven't been running MSG, they are doing a show there in a couple weeks, July 7th. And I know someone brought it up that The Undertaker was mentioned to be on the card. We finally know what Undertaker is going to be doing there.
What is Undertaker going to be doing?
Undertaker will be teaming up with Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns to take on Kevin Owens, Baron Corbin, and Elias.
His name is Constable Corbin now.
Constable, sorry. Other matches for that MSG card right now
are... That seems like a very one-sided match.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. You know who's winning that one, hands down. Other matches... Again, I don't know how it's playing out with the suspension, but the card was supposed to be Ronda Rousey versus Nia Jax with special guest referee Alexa Bliss. Also, scheduled appearances, Bobby Lashley, Jinder Mahal, Bobby Roode, Natalya, Bayley, Matt Hardy, Bray Wyatt. They're also advertising Intercontinental Championship match, which we have a new Intercontinental Champion, if you didn't watch it this week, Dolph Ziggler versus Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor.
I'm hoping Dolph having the IC title leads to McIntyre getting the IC title, because McIntyre is the best untapped source on Raw right now. I would like to see McIntyre and Braun Strowman feuding for the heavyweight title by the end of the year.
That could absolutely
For the Universal happen. Title, sorry. They're all heavyweights.
Yes, they all are. And it's the Universal title. That's why Brock isn't always at Raw.
He's out defending
He's
it throughout
defending the title throughout the universe.
Or he disappeared when Thanos clicked his finger. We're not sure.
Well, that would have been great. I would have been okay with that. Other news this week, Rey Mysterio back at it. Rumors are that he might be coming back. I mean, it's kind of been on and off.
Since he showed up for at the Royal Rumble.
The greatest Royal Rumble.
The original Royal Rumble.
Oh, that's right. He was at the original.
Yeah.
And then he was again at the greatest Royal Rumble.
Yep.
And it's been, is he going to come
he
back?
Did Dominion.
There were rumors he was going to come back. And be involved at WrestleMania somehow.
Yeah.
But now it's looking like they're working on negotiating out a 3-year deal.
He wants a part-time schedule, though, and we'll see if he gets one. It all depends on if they want to bring... I mean, as long as... Rey Mysterio has been in the business forever. But everyone's got to remember he started when he was 14. Rey Mysterio's only in, like, his early to mid-40s at this point. He's not that old. And he looks fantastic. He's in the best shape I've seen him in years. So we'll see what happens with that. They would love to have him back. I'd like to see him back on TV, but I'd like to see him back on TV doing stuff with New Japan. So,
I mean, maybe you could get that. You could absolutely have that happen. Other news this week. We already talked about, okay. We mentioned John Cena liking the Velveteen Dream thing.
Yep.
Do we even want to mention the other John Cena news that came out this week, which is just awful?
I don't remember the John Cena news that came out this week.
Well, number one, he settled his lawsuit with the Ford Motor Company.
Oh, yes.
And number two, he's willing to get his vasectomy reversed.
Oh, yeah. He's willing to have kids with Nikki now.
Because that's what she wants, and he wants her. If you're wondering why there's no storytelling, script writing,
they're writing it for Total Bellas. WWE,
yes, they're all using their concentrated energy for Total Bellas.
Oh, this is so bad.
It is bad. And I think that's all we should talk about that.
We did get asked last week about The Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels possibly in Australia. Brian had asked us. It is going to be The Undertaker versus Triple H, supposedly for the last time ever in Australia. Shawn Michaels is supposed to be there. I could see him special guest reffing or something like that. He is supposed to be there, but it will be Triple H versus The Undertaker. And the rumor is that it's going to be Undertaker versus John Cena again at SummerSlam.
Okay.
Meaning The Undertaker has worked 5 years worth of matches in a 6 month span if that happens.
Okay. So if we're going to get Undertaker Triple H again, I'll just forget the fact that at WrestleMania 28, we saw them fight in Hell in a Cell and it was the end of an era.
Yes.
Part two, the end of an era.
Once in a lifetime.
Part two.
Yeah.
Thanks, John Cena and The Rock. We got one more segment to go. Still have time to give us a call. Send us a text. The phone number, 222-1280, star 1280, 585-222-1280 if you're outside the Rochester area. More Pain Clinic right after this here on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic here on Fox Sports 1280. Last segment of the show for this Saturday. Again, thank you to Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight, located at Empire at Culver, for sponsoring the show. You can join us July 7th for UFC 226 out at Salvatore's at the garage door, 149 East Ridge Road, or out at Salvatore's Saloon. It's a 10 o'clock start time for the UFC event. It'll be hosted by us. There'll be prizes and drink specials all night. That is July 7th. Your options for viewing that at Salvatore's would be Salvatore's Saloon or with the Pain Clinic crew out at Salvatore's at the garage door.
And that is Stipe Miocic versus Daniel Cormier for the heavyweight title. That's going to be a good fight.
It's
probably the best fight they can offer at this point.
Now, is assuming everybody stays healthy, makes weight.
All of them should be fine.
Is it me or is like UFC like just had a horrendous string?
Oh, it's been terrible.
Matches just having to be changed because of things happening.
Things happening. Like Yoel Romero missed weight by 0.2 pounds. And then they cut him off an hour before he was supposed to be able to drop it. They're like, no, you have to stop now. And he was supposed to have another hour to drop that 0.2 pounds, which I think he would have. So they made that non-title fight. It was still a good fight, but it was a non-title fight. And then injuries have been bad. Native New Yorkers screwing up by getting into substances they shouldn't be involved with. Now they're never going to have title fights again. But, these are two guys who have not had issues with anything. Heavyweight title fight. Neither one fights anywhere close to 265, so they're going to make weight. So it should be fine.
Okay, so we talked about this a little earlier. And a lot of this is just behind-the-scenes speculation, people talking. We've talked about it repeatedly here, how it just, like, there's something missing from the WWE product right now. There doesn't seem to be a lot of direction. There doesn't seem to be a lot of...
John Cena, isn't it?
It's not John Cena. It has nothing to do with John Cena. But I don't know. There's something missing. Like, it's like WWE has been on cruise control for months.
Because they have.
Well, yeah. And so fans have started to notice that things aren't exactly good right now. And there are people within the company that understand that things are not that good right now. There was a WWE source that was quoted this week as saying, everybody knows that they're basically delivering a mediocre product. Everybody knows it. It's not a secret. The people in the company know it. It's just not good TV, and we've talked about this. And this is as WWE has these two huge new deals it signed. The huge deal for Raw with NBC and then the huge deal for SmackDown with Fox.
Yeah.
So where do they go? How do they correct this? What are they waiting?
I don't know what they're waiting for. They've already signed the deals. I mean, they signed the deals in the middle of this.
Are we going to get buyer's remorse from NBC and Fox at some point?
Well, NBC will never have buyer's remorse for having Raw. And I mean, even if they draw the worst ratings they've drawn, it's still better than anything else NBC is going to put on at the time. So that's something they don't have to worry about. Fox, I mean, if they sign the deal, they may get buyer's remorse, but they can't do anything about it. But I have no idea what they'd be waiting for. Like, I can understand if you're 3 months out from re-debuting on Fox and you're not allowed to promote it and all that stuff to try to draw the ratings down on NBC for not picking you up. That's one thing. You're over a year away from going on Fox and you're sitting there and you're doing the same thing every week, minus giving Rusev a push finally, which is going to be awesome. But I don't know what they would be waiting for. I don't know what they would have in the wings. You're going to lose Brock Lesnar, which is your most, other than John Cena, he'd be your second most casual fan name person because of the UFC stuff. So I don't know what you'd be waiting for unless you're going to have something monumental pop up and you don't screw it up for once. Cause when they did the whole Nexus thing, it was awesome. And then they screwed it up within 3 weeks. So I don't know what they're waiting for. I don't know what they have planned. I hope it's something.
Well, the area I see this, to me, where I see this affecting the product the most is look at what happened to the tag team division. Like, months ago, like, both tag team divisions were red hot, especially on SmackDown.
Yeah.
And it is totally cooled off.
Well, when you don't put them on TV at all. Though we did get to see the Bludgeon Brothers beat up Daniel Bryan this week, which is awesome.
Always a good time.
Always. I mean, I like me some Daniel Bryan, but I have a little bias towards the Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah, we know we're biased, but I mean, I don't understand this how you have something so red hot and you let it go cold. Like, for a while, WWE had a great tag team. I mean, I know it goes in cycles.
Yeah.
But there was a time where WWE didn't care about the tag team division. And then within the last 3 years,
it picked back
up. It's gotten so much better.
And they have good tag teams.
Yes.
But they don't have them working.
Featured.
Yeah.
Working. Storylines. Nothing. And then, like,
except for the B team, which was a great promo this week. Who'd have thought the resemblance between Bo and Bray would be that uncanny?
It's weird.
It's not like they're brothers or anything.
It's so weird. I don't know what's going on with that. But yeah, it's so. I mean, they realize they have a problem. People know. People are talking about it. I mean, I know ratings aren't what they used to mean.
Yeah.
But it still doesn't change the fact that they're scoring some of their lowest ratings of all time. Like, Raw in May had a show that was the second lowest rated show in Raw's history.
Yes. That should be a wake-up call.
That has to bother somebody enough to shake things up, doesn't it?
You would think. Who knows? Maybe they're biding their time until Vince retires or something. You never know what's down the pipeline.
Just Triple H waiting in the wings, just waiting for his moment.
There's a mass firing. And he just runs everything like NXT.
Get rid of Vince and Dunn.
Oh, that'd be great. We did get a question earlier on Facebook that I saw, and it is one that I actually saw an answer to during this week, so it's timely that it was asked. Dean Ambrose has been out for about 6 months now with his tricep tear. And we were asked when he would be coming back. It's been a long time. Originally, they said it would be about 9 months till he came back. Apparently, he has been down in he has been seen at the Performance Center. They don't know if it's general rehab or if he's been in the ring or anything like that, but he seems to be getting on the right track. I'd still say you probably won't see him till after SummerSlam, but, you know, then he'll be back. And then we can, hopefully, he doesn't get nearly as stale as he had gotten and stops doing that stupid rope thing he was doing. That go under the rope clothesline thing got really annoying real quick.
It's just so bad. It's so slow.
Yes.
Why would you not move out of the way?
Yep.
Dean Ambrose, where do you put him coming back? I would assume they're going to do, like, he's a free agent and then he's going to
appear. They can either do the free agent thing or I would have him attack Seth Rollins. And say the reason he got hurt, because he was tagging with Seth when he got hurt. That's when they were trying to bring back the Shield, and none of them could stay healthy long enough for all three of them to be in the same match. So that's why I would go with him, because that was the original plan, was him and Rollins at WrestleMania. this year. So why not kickstart it off again?
And maybe next year at WrestleMania, we'll get our Shield triple threat.
Possibly. Hopefully not for the title.
No. I don't think the title needs to be in that match.
No.
And then no, we'll also get Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey as potentially the first ever women's WrestleMania main event.
That'd be interesting.
Do you think they would do it? Do you honestly think WWE would put the women in the main event at WrestleMania?
Yes.
That would have to be the pinnacle of the women's movement.
It would. At this point, the only match that would make sense would be that one, if they're going to do it.
All right.
I think I can see it happening. I can even see it being title versus title. They're on different brands.
Unless we get another shakeup in between now and WrestleMania. Yeah.
Or one of them wins the women's Royal Rumble and calls out the other one.
Speaking of the superstar shakeup, guess who we finally got to see debut this week?
I know. After talking about it for the last couple weeks, Sanity finally showed up. They didn't actually get their match, but they finally showed up.
But they finally appeared.
Yeah.
And Nikki Cross was happy to see them.
I was happy to see him. Eric Young is a great talent. Killian Dane's a great talent. Alexander Wolf is kind of weird looking. So, and he does that moshing thing that we didn't get to see yet, but he's a weird dude.
But every now and then you need a weird dude.
Yes. And he fits that role perfectly.
All right. The music means our time is up. We're not going to go join Cash in the hot tub, though.
No. It's a little
sweaty and hairy in there.
Yeah. Yeah, we're good on the hot tub this week.
I feel like I'm going to throw up now just thinking about it. All right, yep. Danger Boy, thank you for not leaving me here alone this week.
No problem. Thank you for coming as well.
My pleasure. And thank you to our board op, Colin. He's much better looking than Cash. Again, this is the second replacement we've had that's better looking than Cash. There'll be more Pain Clinic next week. Maybe the Cash Man will be back. Here on Fox Sports 1280.